Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Mikio. The European Central Bank in a meeting yesterday kept interest rates at ultra-low levels. But the Germans are quite uneasy about this, saying that zero interest rates are not sustainable. In your opinion, has the ECB policies been able to reflate Europe?
Well, good morning. Yes, I think generally it has gone in the right direction. The ECB, as you know, was a latecomer to proper QE. They only started the policy with a six-year delay in January last year. I think generally monetary policy works well, so that has had a positive impact, definitely.
And do you see that, given that the Germans are criticizing this policy quite a lot, whether Mario Draghi would press on and continue with this type of policy, or do you see changes coming on there?
Well, I'm not sure if I see changes. I would hope that the ECB will prevail, and I think ultimately it probably will. But there is the negative aspect to that is exactly, actually, as Mr. Draghi said yesterday, or implied yesterday, is that this criticism from Germany and some other parts are basically undermining confidence in the policy, because Germany is a very powerful country. It's the largest economy in Europe, and if they're not happy, then there are doubts about whether this policy can continue, with regards to the degree that the ECB's hands are tied to continue with that policy, and that undermines confidence in future economic growth and in the inflationary prospect. So that is definitely not good. And you see a similar thing happening also in Japan, perhaps even to a stronger degree, where there's also opposition and criticism to the negative rate policies. But the policies themselves, I believe, are the right thing to do in the current circumstances, unfortunately, but that's what needs to be done.
Are you positive on the European markets?
We are most positive at the moment on the European markets, yes, because it is, despite the headwinds, the political headwinds from Germany, it is among the central banks that is still most confidently going ahead with this policy. So we do think that's a factor that should be rated positively for financial markets.
Talking about Japan, as you said, they are also similarly going through some kind of negative interest rates policy. But the yen is at an 18-month high simply because the US dollar has weakened slightly. What do you think is the next move for the yen?
Well, I think the yen, it has been noticed more recently by analysts and the media that it's rising, and it's rising more recently, primarily because of the risk aversion. But the actual trend for a stronger yen began already in late 2014. So that's in reality an old story. I think it partly reflects the fact that it's a very attractively valued currency relative to what it should be worth if you take the actual macroeconomic conditions in Japan into place. At the moment, with the current stance of the Bank of Japan and the shaky markets and uncertain outlook in the global economy, I think the yen will be probably stronger than it would otherwise have been. But if the the BOJ moves ahead, it should take out some of that strength. But we do not expect a weak Japanese yen going forward, at least not in the near term.
How do you think Abenomics would react to such a trend? Because I guess the most basic thing that Abenomics want to achieve is an extremely weak yen.
No, I would disagree with that. And actually, Mr. Kuroda just a couple of days ago stated that himself too, that the monetary easing is not a doesn't aim and doesn't guarantee a weaker currency. I think monetary policy should be mainly about money supply and making sure that the domestic economy is supplied well and that people in the domestic economy get the message about monetary policy and the currency can do whatever it wants or whatever markets want.
I guess this is also politically palatable to the Americans because U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew actually said that they would not do anything to stop yen's appreciation.
Well, you know, yes, there is the political dimension or the diplomatic dimension would further complicate things. But as I said, it's a bit thick, I think, to accuse Japan of devaluing the currency because, as I mentioned earlier, if you look at the yen against the basket of G10 currencies, it has been rising since the end of 2014. At any rate, it has certainly not generally been depreciating. You know, as long as it doesn't fall by another 30%, I don't think at the end of the day the Americans or anyone else would have a big problem. So the Bank of Japan should just ignore it and go ahead and do what's necessary for the domestic economy.
Now, China also reported GDP recently really thick into 6% plus territory. What is your forecast for the full year?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your question. What was your question?
The GDP in China reported a 6.7% in the first quarter. Do you have any forecast for the full year?
Well, we don't have specific numerical forecasts for China or for any economy. That's not really how we work. But, you know, our expectation for China is that GDP growth will continue to edge lower. Whatever the specific level may be, it's more likely to be lower than it is at present or than it was last year. But that's not a major concern.
Some people, George Soros, for instance, feels that China today reflects a pre-crisis U.S. and some even say a pre-crisis Japan. Do you agree with this?
No, not really. I mean, there are obviously similarities, but, you know, you can find far more differences. China is, first of all, a developing economy coming from a much lower base. They did a lot of necessary investment. They did also overinvestment, which is part of the problem today. But overall, I don't think you can make that comparison. And we also don't think that China is headed towards any kind of crash or hard landing. They can manage it, but, you know, the price for that is that GDP growth will continue to slow down gradually.
And what do you think are some of the cushioning factors that China can put a floor to?
Well, I mean, they could do some stimulus in areas where, you know, it makes sense. I mean, one obvious area would be, for example, private residential housing in certain areas, you have to keep some level of investment in infrastructure also going on. But the most important thing is to continue the rebalancing towards a services and domestic demand-driven, domestic consumption-driven economy, rather than an economy that is relying excessively on heavy infrastructure investment, which it doesn't need anymore because that's been largely done over the past 20 years.
Thank you so much. That was Mikio Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.